Welcome once again. I'm Miguel Gonzalez, and this is Truth to Live By, the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. Thank you once again for choosing to spend the next 30 minutes with us. We trust that this will be a beneficial time as we study God's Word. It'll be a time of refreshing. It'll be a time when the Spirit of God will allow us to understand the Word of God so that we may be able to apply it and grow in our faith. Today we're going to start talking about the Christian and trouble. Now there's not one particular passage I'm going to look at. There's several passages we're going to look at. I want to highlight 4 points. This is really going to be a two-part message. And today we're going to start talking about the first 2 points. And during the next message, we're going to be talking about the last 2 points. But Christian in trouble. And I think it's going to be a beneficial message for us, because trouble is something that we encounter day in and day out in our lives, both spiritually and physically and emotionally and in every other way. But before we start our study, let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. May you open the eyes of our hearts and understanding. May you allow our ears to take in everything you have to say. May the Spirit of God be allowed to apply that which we learn today into our lives, so that we may be able to learn how to live with trouble and allow those things that come into our life to be actually things that benefit us and prosper us as our faith is stretched and worked. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now listen, trouble is a part of life. If you live, you've encountered trouble. If you live, you've experienced trouble. Trouble is a part of life. And if you remember, Jesus himself said that he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. As Christians, we must understand both the promise that trouble will occur and the plan Scripture lays to deal with trouble. Now, I said we were going to discuss 4 major points. I'm going to tell you what those points are now, but we're only going to touch on the first two. We're going to look at the promise of trouble. We're going to look at the plan of trouble. And during our next message, on the second part, we're going to look at the prevention of trouble and the procedure when trouble comes. So first of all, let's look at the promise of trouble. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to go to the Old Testament, and we're going to go to the book of Job. And in Job, we're going to look at chapter 5 and verse 7. Job 5, verse 7. And this is what it says in that verse. Yet man is born, listen, man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly up. Can it be any more clear to us from God's Word that man will experience trouble during his life? There is the promise of trouble. Once again, yet man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward. There you have the promise of trouble. But listen, don't allow that to trouble you. Because if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, trouble is just another tool that God uses to bless your life. Don't be troubled by trouble, because trouble will work in your life to bring you closer to Jesus and to conform you more and more to the image of Christ. Now let's look at some subpoints to the promise of trouble. Let's look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Romans 5 verse 12. Listen to what Paul says. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. What's Paul's point here, and what does that have to do with trouble? Well, remember, there's the promise of trouble. And according to Paul in James, in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, all of us are born into a sinful world. And that is in part why we are all born to trouble. All of us are born into a sinful world. And we ourselves are born dead spiritually because our nature is a sinful nature. But in part, trouble is promised because we ourselves are born sinners and we are born into a sinful world. And do you believe for 1 minute that if you are born into a sinful world, you're going to be born into a world where there is no trouble? Look at the newspapers, look at the news, look around you, and tell me if the world that which we live in is not a world filled with trouble. Second point we want to make there within that promise of trouble is found in Psalm 51 and verse 5. Psalm 51 and verse 5. Listen to what the psalmist says. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Well, according to the psalmist, in addition to the fact that we're born into a sinful world, we are born into a sinful body. And we are born with a sinful nature. And that comes to us from the moment of conception. Listen, in essence, what I am trying to spell out to you as we talk about the promise of trouble is that all that to which we're born to and into are the ingredients that guarantee that in our life there will be trouble. You're born into a sinful world, you're born with a sinful nature, and you're born into a sinful body, and that comes to us from the moment of conception, and the sinful world comes to us from the moment of our physical birth. Another point that we want to make under the promise of trouble is found in 1 Peter and 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'm going to look at verse 8. Listen to what Peter says. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, what does this have to do with the Christian in trouble? Well, do you see the ingredients as they come together in order to make evident to us that our life has going to have trouble, will have trouble? According to Peter, we are born into a spiritual warfare. Listen, the job of Satan before we came to know Christ was to attempt to keep us from coming to know Christ. And he will do anything he can in order to keep people from coming to know Christ. But the warfare doesn't end there. In fact, the warfare, the spiritual warfare, really begins for the Christian from the moment of conversion. Because according to Paul, the devil is like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And the warfare that we face is the warfare that he uses in his attempt to derail us from our process of sanctification in order to render us ineffective. Clearly, the Word of God says that there's a promise of trouble. And the promise of trouble is evident by those three points that we just made. We are born into a sinful world, we have a sinful nature and are born into a sinful body, and we are born into spiritual warfare, and that warfare is experienced from the moment we're physically born, because from the moment that you're physically born, Satan is already working at keeping you from knowing Christ, and if you do come to know Christ, he's working to keep you as ineffective and as far away as he can to keep you from living a life for Christ and a life that brings glory to Him. But the second point we want to make or look at is the plan for trouble. Now listen, God promises that there will be trouble. But what is the plan for trouble? Well, let's look at the plan for trouble. If you look at Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 25, listen to what he says. I will turn my hand against you. I will thoroughly purge away your dross and remove all your impurities. You know what trouble does? You know what God does with trouble? He uses trouble, according to Isaiah and many other passages. We just don't have time to look at all those passages. But according to Isaiah, according to the Word of God, God uses the troubles of life in the life of the Christian in order to refine and purify us. See, when we come to Christ, we come to Christ filthy. Filthy with sin, with a sinful nature. And God uses trouble in the life of the believer in order to refine the believer and to purify the believer, to remove the impurities from the life of the Christian so that the Christian in turn can experience God as God intends for us to experience Him. Secondly, if you go to Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 4, and if you don't have time to look at the passages, at least write down the references. Look at Acts chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Listen, you know what trouble does? You know what God causes trouble to do? Trouble drives us to God in prayer. And in fact, we talked about this in a previous message, the importance of prayer as we cultivate our faith. Trouble, God has a plan for the trouble we're going to face in life. And first of all, He's going to use it to refine and purify us. Secondly, He uses trouble, He allows trouble to come into our lives because it drives people, it drives us as Christians to God in prayer. And the big difference is, the difference between the non-believer and the believer, is that the believer understands that there is power in coming to God because of trouble, because God cares for the believer and will handle that for him. Christ says that we are to take His yoke on us and we are to cast our cares on Him. I mean, the difference is that, I mean, you've seen the difference. This country has faced some very difficult times in recent years, times that have led people, even unbelievers, to in some way, shape, or form come to God in prayer. The difference is that most of those people no longer even give God a thought, but believers do, because believers understand and have experienced the power of God as a result of trouble bringing them to God in prayer. And let me say this, because we have the tendency of allowing this to happen in our lives. Don't let your prayer life be only when trouble comes. Yes, trouble will cause you or lead you or drive you to pray to God, but that should never be the only time that you pray to God. We should be praying to God at all times, in every circumstance, in all occasions. But undoubtedly, God will use trouble in our lives to drive us to Himself in prayer, because God cares. God wants us to cast our cares on Him. God wants to prove to you His love, His grace, and mercy, and He wants to take those things that trouble you and turn them for good. In fact, we talked about that in a previous message as well. God has a plan for the trouble you're going to face in life and the trouble you're currently facing in life. Let's look at another one, Psalm 71. Psalm 71, and we're going to look at verses 19 through 21. Psalm 71, 19 through 21. Your righteousness reaches to the skies, O God. You who have done great things, you, O God, who, O God, is like you? Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again from the depths of the earth. You will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. Do you see what the Word of God says here? God has planned to use trouble in the life of the believer to produce spiritual maturity. Listen, we hear this said all the time, and oftentimes we ourselves say it, but do we understand that trials and troubles are inevitable? God will allow trials and tribulations and troubles to come because in some respects that is the only thing that can cause us to mature spiritually. Now, there are other things that He uses to allow us to mature spiritually, but that is one of those things. And did you hear what the psalmist said? Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again from the depths of the earth. God restores you from the troubles. Because He has a plan for you, and He has a plan for you spiritually, and He wants you to grow and mature, and troubles are a tool He uses to accomplish that in our lives. One more point I want to make in regards to the plan of trouble. Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, we're going to be looking at a number of verses here. Philippians 1, and I'm going to start reading at verse 12. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Verse 15, it is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry. Lost my place. But others out of good will. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But listen, verse 18, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. You know what Paul is saying in this passage? That God uses the troubles in our life, and God permits the troubles in our life, God permits the troubles to come, the trials to come, the tribulations to come, the persecutions to come. God allows them to come, and God uses those troubles to glorify Himself. Listen, to glorify Himself. Why do I say that? Well, think about it. If you face trouble in your life, if you face trials and tribulations of great magnitude, I want you to think about this. When they drive you to God in prayer, and when God is able to miraculously deliver you from those troubles and trials, and at the other end of those troubles and trials, you have come out a greater, a better, a more conformed Christian to the image of Christ, who gets the glory for that? Certainly not you, for it is you who came in brokenness to God in the first place, seeking His mercy and grace and compassion. God uses trouble and then delivers you from that trouble so that everyone may understand who it was who delivered you from that trouble and thus brings glory to Himself. Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought that God allows trouble to come into your life so that He can do a miracle in your life and cause others who don't believe in Him to see that, planting a seed in their hearts? You see, for most people, and this is our responsibility as Christians, we are to reflect Christ. As a matter of fact, people are to see Jesus in us. And God will use trouble, and God will answer prayer in regards to that trouble, and God will deliver us from that trouble, and God will use all those circumstances and conditions and cause them to be good in our life so that others may be able to see the reality of God, not only in His existence, but in His desire for a personal relationship with people. So He causes trouble to come into our lives so that He can glorify Himself and, listen, so that He can spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the passage we just read, Paul said that while he was in chains, people were encouraged, and that while he was in chains, there were people who were preaching the gospel with impure, improper motives, and others who were preaching it out of loving compassion for the lost souls, for the right reasons, with the right motives. Now, the ones who were doing it with impure motives were doing it in order to stir up trouble for Paul, however that looked, or how, you know, however that developed. But Paul said, who cares? At the end of the day, my trouble is causing the gospel to be preached. And whether out of good motives or bad motives, I don't care as long as it is preached. Listen. There is the promise of trouble, and then there is the plan of trouble. And if you are a Christian, you can have complete faith and belief that the God whom you worship is a God big enough to use all those troubles for good. He has a plan. He has a purpose for these things. One, He will use them to refine and purify you. Two, He will use them to drive you to prayer. Three, He will use them to produce spiritual maturity. And four, to glorify Himself and spread the gospel. Father, we thank You for this time. We give You all the praise and glory, and may we ourselves, when we find ourselves in trouble, understand that You are in control and You have a plan for those troubles. We give You the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Truth to Live By is a production and ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. This ministry is a listener-supported ministry. Would you please consider prayerfully supporting us both with your prayers and financially? It is because of the contributions and the partnership of God's people that we're able to continue to bring this program to you each week on this radio station. We need your partnership so that we may be able to continue preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and proclaiming the truth of the Word of God. It is indeed our prayer that God is being glorified through the work that we do. If you are a believer, it is our prayer that God is using this to strengthen your faith and equipping you for service so that you may be able to do the work of the kingdom in this world. And if you are an individual who has not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we pray that you would take this opportunity to do so simply by praying this simple prayer. Father, I acknowledge I am a sinner. I acknowledge I can do nothing to save myself or contribute to my salvation. I believe Jesus is who he claimed to be and who the Bible claims him to be. I ask him to forgive me of my sins, to come into my life, to create me anew, and to give me the gift of eternal life. For it is in his name that I pray. Amen. If you have prayed this prayer, I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God that you have been adopted and brought into the family of God, and you are now his child. Will you please let us know if you've made that decision so that we may be able to contact you in return and rejoice along with you. If you wanted to request any CD copies of any of our messages or any other resources that we have, we are asking that you do so in writing. And I'll give you our contact information in just a moment. I also want to make you aware of our website. Our web address is www.rffiministries.org. If you're requesting any resources, please address your letter to Truth to Live By, Post Office Box 23688, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227-0279. Our email address is truthtoliveby@rffiministries.org. Our phone number is 704-778-3759. Please visit our website where you can get a great deal of information about us at www.rffiministries.org. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.